Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton producing this thing, taking you up until 6 o'clock. So let's give you guys an itinerary of today's show, and I'm really happy to make an announcement. Coming up in an hour, we'll be joined by Juju Smith-Schuster. In the 4 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by the play-by-play voice for the Cincinnati Bengals. At 5 o'clock today, sports take extraordinaire Nick Wright will join us live today at 5 o'clock. We will not be doing the hits today. We will talk to Nick Wright at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, we will be joined in studio by Tamba Haile, future Chiefs Hall of Famer, one of the greatest defensive players that this organization has ever seen. Tamba Haile will be in studio for the 5 o'clock hour. Really excited to conclude our week of talking about the AFC Championship with Tamba Haile. He will be in studio tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So I was on ESPN's page earlier today, just kind of getting ready for the show, reading a couple of different things. And on the Chiefs page, there was a video to a conversation on First Take. And on First Take, they were discussing whose legacy is affected more by a win in Sunday's AFC Championship game. Now, I understand the game and that we got to fill content, we got to come up with topics, but every game doesn't need to be a referendum on legacy. I don't think that either quarterback is negatively affected with a loss. If you're Joe Burrow, you're on the road in Arrowhead for the AFC Championship game, a game that right now you are not favored to win. You certainly don't look down on Joe Burrow if the Cincinnati Bengals lose a 27-24 thrilling game. If you think that Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in the NFL, I don't know really what could happen on Sunday that would change your opinion on where you have them ranked if they lose the game. I would say with Patrick Mahomes, I think that Mahomes, in terms of a legacy, gets a little bit of a free roll the fact that he has this ankle. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to be fully healthy. I expect him to play. I expect him to battle it out. But I don't know if we're going to see the same version of Patrick Mahomes that can do some of the superhuman things that we've seen. I think Mahomes gets a little bit of a free roll in this game. If the Chiefs lose, I know what people will try to do. People will make the same arguments against Patrick Mahomes that they have made against LeBron James for the last 10 years or so. I was just on an interview in Denver, literally 20 minutes ago, and they brought this up. Hey, will there be any backlash in Kansas City if Patrick Mahomes is 2-3 in AFC Championship games? And I said, well, then, other than winning, what is the alternative? What would be better in those situations? Sure, you'd love to be 5-0 in those situations. But would it be better to just be 2-0 and undefeated in AFC championship games as opposed to going to the other three? Would it have been better for the Chiefs to lose last week to Jacksonville than win that game and host the AFC championship game? Well, obviously not. It's just a really silly argument to me. Obviously, you want to win this game. You want to go to as many Super Bowls as you can. You want to win as many championships as you can. But winning playoff games matter. Getting and advancing as far as you can in the postseason matters. It carries weight. So I will never let anybody say, oh, well, it's not. It is a big deal. You know how hard it is? Patrick Mahomes at this stage in his career has been to as many conference championships as Peyton Manning. He's 27. He's been to as many conference championships as Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is 107 years old. He's been to as many AFC championship games as Aaron Rodgers. We still think Mahomes has a decade to go. I don't think that this is going to be the last one that the Chiefs play in. Maybe they don't go to 6 or 7 straight. I don't think that it ends with him only going to 5. I think he goes a couple of more times because I think he's the best player in the league. I don't think that anybody's legacy has to be negatively affected with the loss. I know that goes against the hot take culture. Maybe I need to develop a hot take on this one. I don't think that anybody's legacy is negatively affected with the loss. Now, what a win could possibly do for both quarterbacks changes it. You guys might not want to hear this. People will question who the best quarterback is in the National Football League if the Cincinnati Bengals win. I will still side with Patrick Mahomes. I think he passes the eye test. I think he passes the regular season test. I think he has more personal accolades than Joe Burrow. I just think he's better than Joe Burrow. That will be a conversation over the summer on the First Takes, on the Undisputeds, on the First Things First, on who the best quarterback is in the AFC. And some people will take Joe Burrow if they win. They certainly will be able to call themselves kings. If you have the kind of 2 seasons that they've had and you've gone into Arrowhead 2 consecutive years and leave with the win and your team goes to the Super Bowl, they will be the favorites next year in the AFC. If you're Joe Burrow, it just continues the myth. I'm Joe Cool. I'll go to Kansas City. I'll go to Buffalo. I'll go to Tennessee. I'll go to Baltimore. None of it matters if I win this football game. So the legend of Joe Cool just continues to grow with a win for a second consecutive year at Arrowhead. Think about what a win does for Patrick Mahomes. Think about what Saturday did for Mahomes. You're on one ankle. You're on one leg. You go out there and you put together a drive to put that game on ice. And people can see that you are clearly dealing with something. And the videos of you arguing with the coaches and coming back out and doing everything you could to play. If there's 2 things that we love athletes to do, it is be clutch in critical moments. It's to play through injury. That's why you love Tiger Woods so much in the U.S. Open. That's why you loved Brett Favre so much. That's why you love Kobe Bryant. Guys that have clear physical limitations. But go out there for pure love of the game, and I will do everything in my power to win. That's what made the Last Dance documentary work, is because it showed you that however far you're willing to take it, Michael Jordan was willing to take it one step further. And that's a personality trait that we love for our athletes to have. That's what it appears Patrick Mahomes has. And if he wins this game against a team that just has a little bit more firepower, I think even diehard Chiefs fans can tell you that. There's a little bit more weaponry on the other side than on your side. They got the little better running game. They got better pass catching options. They got the better defense. There's a little bit more ammunition on one side than the other. If Mahomes goes out there and does it on one leg and wins this football game and overcomes it and throws for 300 yards, the legacy of Patrick Mahomes grows. So I just don't think that anybody is negatively affected in this game. I think it's only positives. I think it's a huge boost for Joe Burrow to go on the road and beat Patrick Mahomes twice. And if you're Patrick Mahomes, you want to talk about what your Canton induction speech is going to look like and the highlights that they are going to include. You remember that same way that that video of Matthew Stafford lived for a decade? Remember when Matthew Stafford dislocated his shoulder? And he went out there and he threw the touchdown pass and then threw the 2-point conversion. You remember Byron Leftwich when he was in college? where he was getting carried to the offensive huddle by his offensive linemen. We love to see football players especially go out there and be warriors, be gladiators. And that's what Patrick Mahomes has a chance to do. The legacy to me of both of these guys can only be enhanced over the course of Sunday's game. I don't think it diminishes either player's legacy. So there's been a lot of conversation about the movement of the line between these two teams. It started off as Kansas City was the favorite and Cincinnati was the favorite, and now it's back to Kansas City as the favorite for this game. I think the line jump is associated with a couple of different things. I would say that the public is starting to become more and more confident in the health of Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't a limited participant in practice yesterday. He was a full participant in practice yesterday. I think by now everybody has also seen the video. Pete Sweeney was telling us. So some of you know where the stadium is. Some of you don't know where the stadium is. It is at the intersection between Shawnee Mission Parkway and Metcalf. So Pete Sweeney uploaded the video and left Arrowhead. Rob, what would you say? It's a 20-minute drive, probably?
Yeah, 15, 25? 20. Yeah.
25 at the absolute most.
The way Pete drove, 25.
Good point. Pete told us in those 25 minutes that video got 100,000 views. 100,000 views in 25 minutes. So a lot of people have seen the video now at this point. I think there's an optimism with the way that Patrick Mahomes is moving, by the way that he is walking. When he left the podium, he doesn't have a walking boot on. I think there is growing confidence of, hey, this ankle injury isn't as bad as we thought it was, and Mahomes isn't going to be nearly as limited as people thought. So if you combine all of those things, I think the line is now tilted in the other way. Now Kansas City's the slight favorite. None of that matters. None of that matters. Who do you think is winning this game? I don't think it matters if Kansas City's a one-point favorite, a two-point favorite, or if Cincinnati was a one-point or a two-point favorite. Games in the NFL typically aren't decided by 1 or 2 points. They're decided by 3 points. So I get the interest in the line, and it is a worthwhile topic. If you plan on putting some money on this game, who do you think is winning? Because the point spread in that just doesn't matter. The point spread is too close. These are two evenly matched teams. They've played 3 times over the course of the last 12 months, and it has been 3-point games in each of the 3 contests. These two teams are incredibly even. It comes down to one mistake, one play, one tip pass, one penalty. These are two incredibly evenly matched teams. Do you think Kansas City makes enough plays to get over the hump that has been the Cincinnati Bengals? I don't think the point spread really matters on this side from either perspective. Don't think it matters for Cincinnati. I certainly don't think it matters for Kansas City. It matters about Patrick Mahomes' health. And can you go out there and do the things and execute in a Chiefs fashion and take care of home field in the AFC Championship game? Coming up on the other side, even the mayor of Cincinnati has joined in by throwing shots at Arrowhead. What does that mean? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Patrick Mahomes joins the show Mondays at 2:15 and 5:15. Right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Coming up in just a bit, I'll ask a true-false question based on the AFC Championship game. We'll get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Metro Ford. Visit their inventory online at kcmetroford.com. I saw a video circulating the interwebs earlier today, and I made it a personal note to favorite this and save it for you. I mean, we know the Chiefs are listening. I mean, Travis Kelce confirmed this on his podcast just yesterday.
Getting everybody fired up. We are the loudest stadium in the world on record. 142 decibels.
Did you guys break the record this week?
I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to break it this week because a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans are calling it Burrowhead instead of
Burrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Whoa!
Yeah,
the disrespect to Arrowhead continues.
They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there, Ron.
I mean, there's no doubt that Cincinnati is certainly throwing a lot, and I mean a lot of bulletin board material out there. And I think the Chiefs have taken the private stance of we ain't going back and forth. We did that the last time. We're going to let our play do the talking. We're going to settle this on the field inside the white lines during the 60 minutes. I think that's a good strategy to have. Let them do the talking. We're focused on what we need to focus on. Everybody from the Cincinnati side is throwing shots, though. It's even reached local politics. This is the mayor of Cincinnati, Ohio, throwing shots at the Chiefs.
It is so galvanizing and energizing that our Cincinnati Bengals are again in the AFC Championship. Yes, that's right. Who day, baby? Who day? I will be going on Saturday morning. I'll be arriving in Kansas City, so I'll be at the game at Burrowhead Stadium. See what I did there? No? No? Okay. I love that.
You got that? You got that? Yeah? No? No? Okay. Stay in your lane. Everybody want to be a comedian, man. I heard somebody tell me this when I was a kid, and it has always stuck with me. Most people think they have one of these two things. Most people think they have a sense of humor. Most people think they have a sense of style. A lot of people have neither. You're making a joke to your own contingency. These are supposed to be your allies. These are your people. And the joke went over like a lead balloon? You didn't even get the courtesy fake media laugh. Ha, ha, ha. You guys know what I'm talking about. Andy Reid goes up there and tells a joke. You would think he's Bill Burr the way the media start laughing. Media folks slapping their knee like he's Richard Pryor up there telling jokes. The mayor of Cincinnati couldn't even get that. Burrowhead, you guys got me. Anytime you got to say that after a joke, you know that the joke didn't land. It reminded me of that scene from the movie Joker.
And I thought my jokes were bad.
You guys remember on the movie Joker where he's going up there and he's trying to do the stand-up comedy? And then he just starts telling jokes and, like, no one else is laughing. He's just, like, laughing uncontrollably. That's what that sounded like. Burrowhead. Get it? Boy, Cincinnati better hope that they win, because I'm telling you, the fury that I know Chiefs fans are going to respond with will be of biblical proportions. I mean, I've seen the way that you guys rallied together on the internet. I mean, you guys almost got Omar Infante inducted into the All-Star game. There was a year in which, what was it, 6 Royals All-Stars were starting in the game. I mean, you guys can mobilize on the internet. I certainly hope for Cincinnati's case that they win this game, because I'm telling you, they might have to shut down internet access in the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, because the wrath will be swift, and it will be for the next month. It's not just going to be in the immediate 24 hours after the game. It will be next week. It'll be the week after. If they win, it'll be for the entire offseason with the amount of talking that they've done, and I think they've earned it. Now, some of you might get upset at this portion of the segment, but I do believe this to be true. I don't think home field matters that much at this stage of the season. I'm not saying that home field doesn't matter ever. I do think home field matters. When you've got a young quarterback coming into that environment, we've seen the effect that it's had on guys. But sometimes I think people still look at home field advantage like it's 1993, where I think at that point, I do think home field advantage was super important. And I do think that it was worth 3, 6, 7 points to be the home team. I just think that this modern era of football has just changed. I don't think that any stadium, and that includes Arrowhead, that includes Seattle, that includes Lambeau, any stadium that you think has a great home field advantage, this just isn't how football is played in 2023.
Second down. Denver inside their 1. Elway is under center. Now he pulls away again. His hands on his hips. He looks back at Gordon McConner, the referee, said, hey, what gives?
Again, I have asked the defense to help lower the crowd noise. Any further crowd noise problem will result in a charge timeout against Kansas City. Thank you for your cooperation.
That just doesn't happen anymore. That's not to say that Arrowhead isn't a great environment. It certainly is. I expect Arrowhead to be a great environment on Sunday. I just don't think home field has that level of effect on these guys. I think the communication is A+. Hand signals, signs, the ability to adjust on the fly and see what went right and see what went wrong in almost any instance. I just don't think home field has that level of effect on teams. Certainly not the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. We've just seen it way too many times now. I just don't think that home field advantage carries the same weight in 2023 in modern day football that it did in generations prior. I think it's worth maybe 1, maybe 1.5 point. I think it's a slight advantage. I don't think it's the overwhelming advantage that it can be in certain regular season situations. At this point, you're playing the best teams, the best coaches, the best quarterbacks. These two teams have played each other 4 times in the last 13 months. They know each other really well. I don't think that crowd noise and the environment is going to really change who wins or loses this one individual game. I think it's going to be a special environment. I think Cincinnati has become the rival for the Chiefs. We have been waiting. The media have been waiting for years on, hey, who's going to be the guy to stand alongside Patrick Mahomes and be that rival? I mean, they were pushing that Brady Manning narrative for 4 years. I would say on Sunday, we officially have our answer. The answer is Joe Burrow. They've played in multiple playoff games now at this point. We'll see if it's 2-0 or 1-1. There doesn't appear to be a lot of love lost between these two teams. I think we have got to the point where this is the Chiefs' rival, and I think this is the best rivalry in the National Football League. So I expect it to be an incredible environment. And I think you guys, the fans, Chiefs Kingdom, I think you guys want to beat Cincinnati as badly as they want to beat Cincinnati. You guys hear what they've been saying about Arrowhead. You guys have heard what they've been saying about individual players and teams and situations. I think you guys are going to be as fired up for this game as you can potentially be. I think it's going to be one of those kind of environments at Arrowhead on Sunday. Coming up in a little bit, I've got a true false question that I want to ask you guys related to the AFC Championship game. But did you guys see what happened last night in a college basketball game? Somebody had Uber Eats delivered.
Somebody came on the floor on the far side looking for an Uber Eats delivery or something. There is carrying some McDonald's.
Oh, this has to be one of the all-time greats.
I'm actually not kidding.
No, this is the truth.
I think that's what's happening.
This guy's in the corner. Looked like was he going to deliver the McDonald's to somebody on the court? Can we rule that out?
I think that's an Uber Eats sticker. Is that what that is? I'm trying to get confirmation. Uber Eats, yes.
Maybe I'll put my hand up. I'm getting a little hungry. You can bring it over here.
So we saw the stoppage. The man was ushered. Let's see if we can see this. No, this is going to be the turnover in the
corner. There he is, right there in the corner. Yay.
Who's he delivering it to?
Now, I don't get Uber Eats. I mean, this might come as a shock to you guys. It's just not worth the $6, $7 that they're going to charge you to bring you the food. I'll go get it myself. It's worth it to me to save the $4 or $5 to go get it myself. If it's not worth it to you, I understand. I understand why Uber Eats exists. I understand why Uber Eats is a thing. You know, sometimes you just don't feel like getting up and you'll spend a little bit of money to have somebody deliver it to you. I certainly understand. Can you have McDonald's Uber Eats? Rob, we got to have an official ruling on this. I don't think you can get Uber Eats delivered to wherever you are. I'm not even hating on the fact that it's at a basketball game. I'm hating on the fact of when you go on that app and all of those foods are available, I don't know if you can have them bring you two McDoubles and a fry. I don't know if you can get the 20-piece nugget for $5 and the spicy Sprite delivered to you. I think if you're going to go get Uber Eats, you need to get Uber Eats. You need to really go all out. I mean, they're about to charge you $9 to bring it to you anyway. You might as well eat good. Like, how are you going to pay with the luxury to then get something as common as McDonald's? It's me hustling backwards. Now you're going to tell me that Big Mac combo is now worth $19 for it to be delivered to you? You did a lot there. If you're going to do that, you might as well spend the $30 and get Applebee's or something. Get some Applebee's wings or something. Get them to deliver a steak from you from Applebee's if you're going to do it. I think that ordering McDonald's on the Uber Eats is a clear violation. I don't think you can do it. I think it's a violation. I don't think you can have McDonald's Uber Eats. You're out here Uber Eats and Taco Bell. You turn those three tacos into $17 tacos. I think you're doing a lot.
At that point, it's cheaper just to eat in the stadium.
I'm with you.
I get it if you're like, back in the day when T-Mobile Center had the quick trip, I'd get it. Go there. Eat there. But Uber Eatsing a $9 meal that costs you $27 is not cheaper than two hot dogs and a drink. It's just not.
Coming up on the other side, I have a true-false question to ask you guys. My question is, true or false, this is the biggest challenge of Patrick Mahomes' career. I'll give you my answer coming up on the other side. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive. Catch insider Nate Taylor with Cody and Gold every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we ask our 10 random questions to Chiefs wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. That's coming up here in about 30 minutes or so. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Centric. Learn more at centric.com/610. Text line 913-586-7610. You can also call in if you want to. True or false? Sunday is the biggest challenge of Patrick Mahomes' career. Rob and I are actually on different sides of this. I think the answer is false. I don't think that this is the biggest challenge of Patrick Mahomes' career. I think the biggest challenge of Mahomes' career was the first AFC championship game. They were going up against the New England Patriots. The Patriots, it was Tom Brady in a postseason game. You guys were picking Tom Brady to win a playoff game 2 weeks ago based off of that, even though Tom Brady has been terrible this year. There is some mystique around playoff Tom Brady, and there should be. He is the greatest postseason player in the history of the sport. You also knew in that game that Mahomes was going into there knowing he had to play absolutely perfect in order for them to win. There was no room for mistakes. There was no room for error. You knew that the only chance that the Chiefs had to win that game was for him to be masterful and for them to win a high-scoring shootout, 41-34 kind of game. That was the only chance that they had. You're going up against Belichick and that defense and what we know about Belichick and how he can confuse young quarterbacks. I think that's the biggest challenge going into it. I don't now retroactively want to say that it's the Super Bowl. I was here. I know the confidence level that people had going into the Super Bowl. People were not this worried going into the Super Bowl about the offensive line as they are about the ankle here in this situation. It was more of a belief of, oh, hey, well, they'll figure it out. Look, you're giving Andy 2 weeks. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, at that point, we were looking at the Chiefs where if the Chiefs had won that Super Bowl against Tampa Bay, they were going to have one of the five greatest seasons we had ever seen in the history of the league. They ran through the league in 2020 that year, ran through the playoffs. If they had beat Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, we'd have been talking about that Chiefs team, especially winning back-to-back Super Bowls. Like, they were one of the greatest teams, not just in Chiefs history, not just in, like, recent history, in the history of the league. I didn't really get a sense of worry when it came to the offensive line heading into that game. There's a sense of worry for this game. It should be. You've lost to this team three straight times. Mahomes isn't going to be 100% healthy in this one. I still would answer false on this one. So the question is, text line 913-586-7610. True or false? This is the biggest challenge of Patrick Mahomes' career. I think the answer is no. I'd have to say false on that.
We agree on false. We disagree on why. Because the answer is that Super Bowl against the Bucs. Because going into that game, he was facing a team that he already faced in a weird pandemic season, which even though it was the Super Bowl, it was a road game, a literal road game, and his offensive line was like me, you, Gold, and Cody. It was the biggest challenge of his career. And what was on the line? They had a chance to go back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Remember the Run It Back tour? There's the whole deal. They were all about going back-to-back, and it was the start of a dynasty. Chris Jones was on this station talking about not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. Tyreek Hill was on First Take when he was allowed to do media back with his Chiefs days, and he was talking about being a dynasty and all this and all that. And they got walloped. They got smoked, and everything changed. That was the biggest challenge of his career because it affects his legacy more than this Sunday will. because the story went from here comes the next dynasty, here comes the next Patriots, watch out, to, oh boy, are they just the Seahawks? Are they just a reincarnated of them? Go to one, lose to one, haven't been back? Is Andy really that guy? Everything changed with that Super Bowl. So yes, I would say, agree with you, it's false. This Sunday is not the biggest challenger's career. It was the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. Because he was basically LeBron when he had Dellavedova, Tristan Thompson, and some bums. That's what he had as an offensive line. And he failed. And now his reputation, his legacy, his record in Super Bowls is all changed because of it. That's why I say false, but Tampa Bay.
Do you agree that we only look at that retroactively?
We were having a conversation about that on this show. Yeah, we just felt like they were going to win.
I just didn't get the sense from fans going into the game that they were super worried about the offensive line. That's just not the feeling that I remember back there. I thought Chiefs fans were going into it, I would say, pretty arrogant. I would say they were going into it kind of how Cincinnati is going into this game. Hey, we played in this game last year. We beat this team earlier in the season. We've managed offensive line injuries. Nothing can stop us. Now, I understand why you felt that way. The game certainly didn't play that way out, but I just didn't get a sense of worry about the offensive line. I think we realized pretty early on. It kind of reminds me of going into the MUKU game earlier this year. I was telling you, like, man, I think MU can score with them. I think that Missouri has shown that, in theory, they could score against Kansas. They did that up until they played them. And in the first 5 minutes, you realize, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, they don't match up well with this team at all. And they are in danger of getting smoked in this game. I think it's really, really similar to that. Let me know what you guys think. 913-586-7610. True or false, Sunday is the biggest career or the biggest challenge so far in Patrick Mahomes' career. I'm curious what you guys think. Someone says, I'd say no. I'd say the Tampa Super Bowl or Carrington, I agree with you, the first AFC championship game against New England. Someone on the text line says, text line 913-586-7610. I think it's true. This game means more than the Super Bowl. The disrespect from the media and Cincy has made this personal for a lot of us. I don't think I'm at that point. I don't think this game means more than the Super Bowl. I mean, the Super Bowl is, it's the Super Bowl. I also don't really think that there's really been a lot of disrespect from the media. I think this is one of those games where you can legitimately make an argument for either side. Sometimes we have these conversations over the course of the year where I think people are like falling over themselves to be on the other side or falling over themselves to be the opposition. I don't think you got to really do that this hard in this game for either team. I think they're pretty even. I don't think there's really been a lot of disrespect. I think the disrespect has come from the opposition. Now, if you're telling me, has Cincinnati shown the Chiefs a lot of respect? The answer is no. I don't think that they've shown the Chiefs a lot of respect at all. I don't really think there's been a lot of disrespect from the media. I understand doubting Mahomes' ankle. I understand doubting the team that has lost three times in a row to the opposition of, hey, until they prove it to us, we're going to pick the other team until the Chiefs win. I get that. I don't really think there's been a lot of disrespect from the media, at least in this situation. Someone on the text line says, I think no. I think the biggest challenge is for the defensive line to put the Bengals on skates. I don't disagree with you there. Now, I have absolutely no clue. I don't know how this has started. I don't know how the Bengals offensive line is such a problem in almost every other situation until they play the Chiefs. You want to talk about the kryptonite. The Bengals offensive line has been the kryptonite for the Chiefs defensive line. The Chiefs are second in the NFL at sacks. They get all kind of pressure. They see Cincinnati's offensive line show up, and I don't know what happens. Something happens. Something goes haywire the moment that Cincinnati shows up. I don't know what's going on in those situations. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will play our conversation with Juju Smith-Schuster. We asked Juju 10 random questions. We'll do that here coming up at the top of the hour. So you guys have heard a lot of the Eli Apple nonsense over the course of the last 2 weeks or so. I mean, he's really just talking to anybody. He was talking to Buffalo. He's talking to Kansas City. He was smoking a cigar in the locker room. I mean, Eli Apple is moving like he's Deion Sanders. He's moving like he's prime Darrell Revis. He's moving like he's Champ Bailey back in 1999. That's how Eli Apple has been moving here over the last 3 weeks or so. This is what LeSean McCoy had to say on the I Am Athlete podcast. Listen to this.
I said, hold up. Now, right now, Pat Bev might not be doing a lot. and he do a lot of trolling. I said, but Pat Bell got a first team all defense.
Yeah, he did.
Where Eli Apple, oh wait, first team defense, and he was a journeyman. He was across seas and he got his stuff together.
Yeah.
Compared to Eli Apple was with the 10th pick in the first round, and year 7 he's been on 4 teams. They different. Yeah. And he got no all pros. He got zero Pro Bowls. I mean, like, he barely could pick his own number. So my thing is, like, they different levels of ball players.
I just want to read something to you guys really quickly. Now, you probably have heard, you know, when we interview people and I'll kind of rank their accomplishments. So what I always do is I just go on Wikipedia and then I go on Career Highlights and Awards is what I go on. Career Highlights and Awards. And I just read it. So if we had somebody like Will Shields on the show, for example, Will Shields is one of the most accomplished football players in the history of the game. I mean, Will Shields' accomplishments are Walter Payton Man of the Year, 3-time first-team All-Pro, 4-time second-team All-Pro, 12-time Pro Bowler, NFL 2000s All-Decade, yada, 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 you know? I mean, Will Shields has done everything that you can do in the National Football League. Then I go on Eli Apple. I go on Eli Apple's career highlights and awards. And this is what it says. College football national champion. He was on the Ohio State team that won the national championship. Second team all Big Ten. Not first team. We're talking about a player who was the 10th overall pick. Second team all Big Ten. That's it. Text line, what do you mean that's it? No, that's the end of Eli Apple's career highlights and awards on Wikipedia. He won a national championship in college at Ohio State. He was second team all Big Ten. That's it. Not a Pro Bowl. Not a AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Not a nothing. Not a Walter Payton nominee. No nothing. Eli Apple is doing the most while simultaneously doing the least. Eli Apple's played for 4 teams since 2016. He's played for 4 different teams. At this point, you know what it's fair to call Eli Apple? A journeyman. A journeyman. He's Steven Nelson with more Twitter followers is who he is. That's who he is. He's Steven Nelson with a larger Twitter following. He's done nothing. 0 in the league is what he's done. Someone says, Carrington, you forgot something. He's first team all trash talk. You're right. My bad. You know what? That's on me. I made a mistake by not including that. I made a mistake. He's done nothing. He has not a single NFL accolade. What makes him talk like this? Anything? Is there anything? I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm serious. I'm reading it right now. I'm on Eli Apple's Wikipedia page. I just scrolled down. You want to know what the last sentence is for New York Giants? You know, he's drafted 10th overall by the Giants. So he was the second cornerback taken. Rob, you want to know who the first one was? Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey was the first corner taken. Eli Apple was the second corner taken. The last sentence in that paragraph is, draft analysts and fans heavily criticized the selection of Apple as many deemed it to be a reach. Yeah, no, it was a reach. It was a reach to draft Eli Apple with the 10th overall pick. What does Eli Apple be doing, man? Does he not know who he is? Does Eli Apple know who Eli Apple is? I don't think Eli Apple knows. I think LeSean McCoy is onto something here, man. I think LeSean McCoy is pretty accurate here. You guys tell me the Pro Bowls don't matter, that everybody gets nominated to the Pro Bowl. Everybody obviously doesn't. Eli Apple's never been. He's not even been an alternate for the Pro Bowl. He's never accidentally fell into one. If you play in the NFL as long as Eli Apple has, you accidentally get one. Hell, Matt Castle made the Pro Bowl the quarterback. He hasn't even been like the 7th alternate. hey, you know, these couple of guys had surgery. They're in the Super Bowl. They can't go. Hey, Eli, can you come? Yeah, sure, I'll come. You ain't been nominated for that. You've done nothing in the NFL. Yeah, you do the most talking. Makes no sense.
He's an extremely league average corner. Like, he's the definition of league average by every metric. Chiefs fans have made him public enemy number one, and that's fine. We can ask Dan Hort about it later. Really, the NFL has made him public enemy number one, and I don't think his mom on Twitter helps him at all. But he's Joshua Williams. He's just a guy. I don't know why Chiefs fans hate him so much.
I certainly get why they hate Eli Apple the most. Eli Apple has made himself hate-worthy. It's not like people just... I don't think for the most part fans go out of their way to just hate individual athletes. Like, Eli Apple acts like he's Trae Young despite doing nothing in the league. So I'm not going to let you say you don't get why people dislike Eli Apple. I certainly get why they dislike Eli Apple. And you want to know who number one is going to be on social media if they lose? Let Eli Apple get beat for a touchdown. Let him get beat for a touchdown. Let him get that one double move that DeMarcus Robinson put on him in the first round of the postseason. Let MVS cook Eli Apple. I'm telling you right now, he should hand in his phone because he will not want to turn it back on, because Chiefs fans will be making fun of him until the day Jesus comes back.
Yeah, but he was mediocre last week, and we know that he got the last laugh because he won. That's how it was last year. He wasn't very good in the game last year. You know what happened? He won. He made one play in the AFC title game last year. One. Anyone else remember a single Eli Apple play? Of course not. But do you know what he got to do? Dance around on social media and tell everyone how great he is because he made the one play. I don't think he cares about getting burnt. I think if he makes the one play, he jumps on social media and lets people know I'm great, even though he's league average. Someone called him Terrence Mitchell on the text line, and that's actually apt.
Yeah, he's 10th overall pick. Terrence Mitchell is who he is. That's who he is. Rob, before we play our conversation with Juju Smith-Schuster here coming up in a little bit, our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Centric. Learn more at centric.com/610. Rob, are you going to acknowledge the importance of running the football at this point in the season?
No.
Because I know you have watched all of these playoff games the way that I've watched these playoff games. And I know what you're going to say. It's causation versus correlation. Well, maybe these teams are winning because they're running the football effectively. Like, I like how we make it seem like teams are only running because they're up 17 points and they're running out the clock. Well, some of these teams are using the run game to establish the 17-point lead. It's like we know this and we watch the games, but then at the end we're just, you know what you are? You're a run game truther. That's what you are. You're a run game truther. Rob, are you ready to stand before the people that listen to this show? Even if the people that don't even listen to this show and hate this show, but right now they just want Chiefs content. Like, they hate me. They kind of like you, but they're just like, man, you know what? The other station's on commercial. I'll just see what they're talking about over there on 610. You know what? I'll give it a chance. I've given it a chance five other times. I hate that show, but I just want Chiefs content right now. I want you to even apologize to them people for your hatred in the run game. Can you not acknowledge and not see its importance in these playoff games? And the team that has shown the better ability to run the football has won almost all of these games we have seen over the last 2 weeks. You have to see this. Please tell me you see this.
No, I absolutely refuse to acknowledge
that. You're not seeing it.
I will stand fast. It is correlation. It is not causation. A great run game does not make you a great offense. It is not Marty Ball of 96. Do you know what these four teams have in common? Actually, three of the four teams, because Kyle Shanahan's an outlier. Great quarterback play. That's the difference.
Hold on.
It's that simple.
You watched Saturday night too. They won that game because they dominated the line of scrimmage and they ran the football super effectively. They were running it when it was 0-0, when it was 7-0. They just ran the ball effectively. Again, no one is saying that you gotta run it like Marty Schottenheimer back in 1995, but I just don't know how you or anybody can watch this playoffs and see the teams that have the ability to run the football as a complement to the pass game, how you can tell me that running backs are not important. Now, sure, is running back something that you should spend $90 million on the way the Cowboys have? Probably not. But you look at San Francisco, you look at Philadelphia, you look at the way that Cincinnati ran the ball last week against Buffalo, you look at who advanced in the first round of the playoffs, the run game matters the way that it always has. I don't care what new trend is going on in the National Football League. The line of scrimmage matters. Being able to have a balanced offense matters. And I think we're seeing that play itself out so far in the playoffs. I would imagine we'll see that play out in the remaining three games. The team that runs the ball more effectively is going to give themselves a greater chance of winning these games. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Juju Smith-Schuster. We ask him our 10 random questions as we continue our vow to not ask football players football questions. That's coming up. It's The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.